right. Happy Sabbath, church family. So good to see you. Are you blessed? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to say what a beautiful, adventurous induction this morning. Wonderful. So good. I want to thank Sister Alicia and the team, all the team members. Let me see all the team members of the Adventurer Club stand for a second, just for a brief moment. All the team members, please stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for what you do. I want to thank our Texas Conference area coordinators as well, Adventurers Club leaders, for being here today. Thank you so much. And parents, thanks for all you do for your children, all right? Keeping them here in our Adventurers Club. Praise the Lord. And if you have children that you'd like to sign up to be a part of our club, you do know who to contact, all right? Please get in touch with Sister Alicia Williams, and we'll be happy to sign you up for that. So thank you again. Sister Anna Torres, I did see you. So good to see you, sis. All right, welcome. All right, welcome. All right, good, good. All right. The Lord has been so good to us. He has provided a time where we can focus our attention on His Word. I invite you to take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And as you do that, I just want to welcome all of our visitors today, those who are here, those who are joining online. Welcome to the Garland Faith Community SDA Church. Just know that you're loved. And I want to welcome all of our members and friends to our church service today. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And I'm going to read verse 13 to 16. I'd like you to join me there. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was pleased and said, little children, do what? Come to me. And do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little what? Will by no means enter it. Up in his arms, laid his hand on them, and today we'll go through this text under the topic child likeness. What did I say? Child likeness. Let's pray. You are truly an awesome being. You are our God. We look to you, Father, for all that we are. Father, we look to you for grace, mercy. We look to you, Father, for protection, for guidance day by day. You are everything to us. And so on this beautiful Sabbath day, we are gathered to simply share with you how much we love and appreciate you. We do this through our worship experience here. And this is just to let you know, Father, you are everything to us. You have blessed us with the best gift that we actually need. You have blessed us with the life of your only begotten Son, Jesus our Savior. And we just want to say thank you, Father. Father, we ask for your presence to be with us now as we look at your word. As we explore it today, Father, we ask that you would teach us, that you would bless us with your insights for our lives, that you would not only, Father, edify us, but that you would change us in the process as well, into your likeness. So I commit all that I am into your hands. I give you all my faculties willingly to be used by your Holy Spirit. I ask, Father, that you would do your wonderful work through my life and through our lives together. May we be blessed. May you be glorified. May we be changed in the process, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Childlikeness. The story is told. You know, kids are really funny, you know. They give us so much joy, right? But I don't know if it was joy for this man. Who experienced something during this story. A group of expectant fathers were in the waiting room one day while waiting for their wives who were in the delivery room in the process to deliver their child. By the way, I wanted to be in the action right there. but these men, I guess, they were in a room by themselves. A nurse came in and announced to one of the men that his wife had just given birth to twins. The man said, "That's quite a coincidence. Because I play for the Minnesota Twins." He said, "Wow." A few minutes later, another nurse came in the room and announced to another man that he was the father of triplets. The man said, "Wow, that is amazing. Can you imagine? I work for the company 3M. There's another guy sitting there watching all that was happening. He couldn't handle it. He got up out of his chair, fell on the ground, and started to hide. Someone saw him and said, "Brother, what's going on? What's the matter?" The man said, "Well, guess what? I happen to work for the company 7-Up. I don't know how I'm going to handle this." Wow, I said, I can imagine that fellow. But you know, children really, they come into the world, we know that they were given to us by God, right? And they're a special gift to us. And God wants us to learn so many things from them. You see, there's so much we can learn from children. In our minds, we think, hey, listen, we just need to teach and do everything. We can't really learn nothing from them. But oh, there's so many things children teach us from day to day. In fact, Robert Fulghum wrote in the Kansas City Times that most of what we really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, he said, I learned it in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, he said, but there in the sandbox at the nursery school. He said, these are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Simple kindergarten stuff, right? And we know so much of that we just read, that even though we might be older, we have problems doing it. Jesus was there in a setting with his disciples. And he wanted to teach them a certain lesson about his kingdom and the very people who will enter in there, what they're going to look like. There's a certain kind of people who will enter into his kingdom, and he knows what they're like. So he wanted to say the only kind of people who will make it into God's kingdom is going to be like this. So guess what? If anybody wants to enter my kingdom, this is what they have to look like and be like. These are the characteristics of a person entering the kingdom of God. He was having this discussion with his disciples. The topic began with divorce. He dealt with the issue of divorce right there in Mark chapter 10. And then after that topic, a heavy topic by the way, he began to expand it a little bit more by turning to the children. You know, the truth is, marriage is so precious. When two people give their hearts together before the Lord, it's an eternal thing in God's eyes. Are you with me? And so, to him, to Jesus, he's saying, listen, marriage is something that I created. In the Garden of Eden, I created that. And he's saying, you know what is as precious as marriage? Is the fruits of marriage. Are you with me? That is so precious. And he's saying, listen, if you break marriage, just know that you're going to break the kids. Are you following? In fact, back in the 1990s, there's a survey I read recently. When asked what was some of the major issues or consequences of divorce, the number one thing that was pointed out by this survey is how it affected children. Are you with me? How it affected children. In fact, children bear the worst, some of the worst consequences of divorce. No wonder why Jesus says, I don't like it. For folks who are thinking of marriage in the future, at some point, if you're not willing to stick it out for eternity, don't do it. Marriages are very sacred and are very, in fact, because he created it like that, it hurts him so much as it hurts you and the family. So he's saying, listen, the moment you start to think about marriage, think about eternity. Are you with me? And so anywhere you see Jesus in the Gospels talking about marriage, you always see him follow up with something on children. It's there, right in the Bible. So no wonder why after he answered the question regarding divorce to his disciples, he then now moved into a lesson on children. And it's a beautiful lesson when you think about it. In fact, the Bible says in verse 13, then they brought little children to him. The first question is, then who brought little children to him? Who is the they? Notice it's they. It's plural. The they would be the parents, wouldn't you say? So many parents were coming to Jesus. He's there sitting with his disciples, and the parents know that he's there, and all they want to do is to make sure that they brought their children. So then they brought little children to him. Little children, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about 12-year-olds? What are we talking about? What size children? Are we talking about infants? The Greek word here suggests infants. Another story in another gospel that carries the same message here, it uses another word for just children, meaning it can be up to 12. I believe it's children of different ages. Some were, yes, newborns, but some were a little bit older. And the parents saw Jesus, and they wanted to make that decision to bring their children close to Jesus. Wow. That they might touch him, that he might touch them. So they wanted a touch, right? In fact, in another story here in the Gospels, it was more of a holding of the baby, not just a touch. Sure, the infants, you're going to want to what? Caress them, correct? But if they're a little bit older, you might have a different way of doing that. Are you following? So there are different ages coming to Jesus. And some he's holding closely, some he's hugging. I don't know what he's doing, but he was interacting with each. But the parents wanted their child to be in the arms of the Savior. They saw him, you know, these parents, they saw him, how he treated the adults. He was healing them, right? They saw the power that came from Jesus himself. They heard him when he said he came to this world to save the lost, to seek them out, he saw the compassion that he gave to every person that he met. But my child, I want that for him or her too. So can you imagine these parents? They're right close to him. They were just ready to bring the kids to the Savior. And as soon as they started those steps to bring their children to the Savior, they were stopped. They were stopped by these disciples. In fact, the Bible says, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Can you imagine the disciples telling the parents, what are you doing? Where are you going? The Savior is up to some real important work right now. Are you with me? I mean, he's dealing with some tough stuff about the church and about you and about people. Not this time. You know, Jesus, I can just imagine him relishing these situations. Because sure enough, he wanted now to tell them what he is like and what God is like when it comes to children. And so he quickly now turned this into a lesson for them. He said to his disciples, but when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. I am sure you're reading it so far up to this point, you were probably greatly displeased. Isn't that true? Of how these disciples were treating these parents. You were probably there sitting in the pews right now saying, these guys don't have a good concept of what God is like. How could they stop the parents from seeing Jesus? You were saying the same thing I am saying. Jesus said, notice the Bible said he was greatly displeased. Jesus was. When the Bible says that, it simply means that Jesus was angry. He was angry about how he saw those parents being treated. Now, Jesus is not angry to the where he's going to keep that anger going on and on. You see what I'm saying? He's filled with that emotions at that point because something was happening that he surely did not like. And this was how the society was towards kids during that time. It's as if kids do not have a part to the temple. They don't really have a part to the services. It's as if it's only to the adults. God pays special attention to adults. Are you with me? And Jesus was about to flip that script. And he said to them in his displeasure, let the little children come to me. Let them do what? And do not? And do not forbid them, for such is the? Jesus said, let them come. Don't stop them. And he's sitting there, and he's giving the commands to his disciples. Can you imagine them? Can you imagine those disciples? They were just stopping those parents, and now they have to look at each of those parents and say, okay, sir. Okay. Are you with me? And sure enough, they have to back away. And I can see the joy that filled each parent. Some of them took their newborn and brought it to the Savior. And I can just see him going and reaching for those newborns and gripping them and standing before his Father. And the Bible said he not only prayed for them, you know, right? But he what? Put his hand. Can you see him? Putting his hand on each child. I mean, treating the child so precious. And when he's doing it not just for the parents, he's doing it for those disciples. He wants them to see how important these children were to heaven. He's a master in how he acts and in what he says. He knows exactly how to reach the hearts of people. And so right there, he prays for each one of them. He blesses them. He caresses them. And then he passes back the child to each parent. One man said the disciples, what they thought was important to Jesus, they got it all wrong. Jesus was telling them that every single life is precious to him. Every single life. I just love the way how this church treats children. At this church, I really appreciate all of the leaders in our Sabbath school team, in our Adventurous Club team, our Pathfinder team. I mean, it's just amazing to see how you all treat the children of the church. Amen. And the time commitment that you're willing to expend in their lives. Do you know a church needs every person to be working? We need everyone, and that's why when people just go to church and don't get involved, they're doing such a detriment to their own lives, they don't even know it. If that's all you do is come to church and go home, it's as if you are coming to receive the blessings of God without even doing anything in return. What it takes to take care of children in this church is phenomenal. And the people who have dedicated their lives to do that, all I can say as a pastor, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and then support them in whatever way I can. All right? So I'm just going to say to anybody in this church that take care of children, God bless you. Yes, you heard that from the pastor. And you have my full support. Are you with me? All right. Praise the Lord. The people that were there with Jesus, I'm about to finish here. They were bringing their kids to Jesus. Jesus blessed them, took care of them. But then the Bible says, look at what it says right here in verse 15. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the what? Kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter. So much we can learn from that. And he's teaching them too, you know. He's teaching these disciples about entering the kingdom. He's using this one example, one scenario to cover a couple grounds. Are you with me? And so he teaches them that, hey, listen, first, I love children. I made them. I care for them. And they have a part in my kingdom. Are you with me? Which means they have a part in my church. That's what he was telling them. And so if we neglect them, you will be neglected. Oh, silence. Jesus didn't play. He continues. What he was saying here is, children have nothing to offer. If I were you, I'd write that down. Entering God's kingdom, there's something we can learn from children. They have nothing to what? Nothing to offer. What do I mean by that? A little baby, to the parents, receives everything. Can someone tell me one thing as a parent, having a newborn baby, that they give you? I'm trying, let me hear. How much money do they give you? Huh? Some poor kids, man. They don't contribute nothing. Are you with me? When Jesus says we have to be like kids, like little children, he's teaching us something. Kids don't have nothing to offer. They can't bribe you with nothing. Are you with me? So in other words, to enter God's kingdom, we have to realize that there's nothing we can offer God. What is it? What kind of good work you can put to say, God, I've done all of this. I deserve to be in heaven. Huh? God is saying, he's trying to teach them right here, no matter how much good works you do, none of that can merit your eternal life. You have nothing, Jesus was saying to them, to offer me. There's nothing you can tell me right now, all right? Except for, sure, repentance. But there's nothing you can give me. Nothing you can give to the Father. It's like filthy rags. Just like kids can't offer God anything, we cannot offer him anything. That's how poor and wretched we are. Sinful to the core. And that's the only way to approach God when it comes to eternity. We can't say, oh, our family comes from good stock. Are you with me? And so I must have some kind of favor. Jesus is saying, listen, none of that means nothing to me. When we come to God, we come to him simply receiving his gifts. We have nothing to give. It's just like when God created all the things, first, second, third, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. When it comes to the ending of the sixth day, he created man. Guess how much creation man did up to that point? Huh? They did nothing. It came to the ending of the sixth day when God created human beings, and they didn't create one iota of everything they were about to receive. Oh my. And when he created it all, he said, it is finished. Right? And mankind, I just can imagine, opened his eyes, probably smelled the jewelry. So what is that? Woo! He started looking for it, right? Everything, and he started enjoying stuff. And he wondered, what is all of this stuff? And he was amazed at the creation that he saw, that he had nothing to do in preparing, and realized, ah, this was all created and prepared for me by a loving God. On the cross, Jesus uttered those same words, it is finished. It is done. I've done everything necessary to secure mankind's salvation. There's nothing for them to do. All they have to do is, like Adam and Eve, is to willingly what? Receive it as a gift. I lived the life that they couldn't live. I died that death, that they died that death, they will be lost for eternity. I tasted that death for everything for humanity, and I'm offering it to them as a gift. Will they take it? The disciples were very stubborn. The people around them, the Pharisees, the scribes, they were all stubborn because they all thought that there was something for them to do. And Jesus was saying, you cannot enter my kingdom unless you get to the point where you understand that you have nothing to give, only to receive. Are you willing to come on that ground? If you are, come on. Come join me. That was one of the toughest things for the Pharisees to accept. But that's the only way to enter the kingdom of God. Father, I've sinned. Forgive me. I want to be yours. The second thing, what Jesus was trying to share with them, when it comes to little children, there's no innocence there. In other words, when we see a little child, they have never lived a life where they have committed anything where they know was wrong and they did it anyway, right? Their brains are developing. We say many times they're innocent. Isn't that true? What Jesus is trying to say is, there's no innocent children. There's nothing innocent about any person. You know why? Because we were all born in what? Sin. Come on, y'all. We were all born in?
Sin.
And shaped in?
Sin.
From the womb. Book of Romans clearly tells us that we are all sinners. You see, a little child, I remember my two boys, man. I tell you what, I love them, but not all the times. I tell you what, I enjoy them, but not all the time. You know, children, right? Sometimes I'll be holding, for 4 hours I'd be there just being with my children at night, just sitting up and being there. And sometimes I'd love to know what to do to say, hey, can you just stop for a moment? I mean, I'll try to feed, you know, and as soon as I take it out, in a little while, start again. I try many things with them sometimes and it just didn't work. But I just have to be up just taking care of them. You know what I mean? That's what we do. And we do it, but you know what? It's not something we love. We don't like to do it all the time. It's just a part of life. Kids, as little as they are, they are not innocent. They need the salvation of Jesus. And that's why Jesus is saying, don't stop them. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. You think because you understand sin and you know how devastating it is, yeah, you need to go to God, but that's only for you. You don't know what God is communicating to his children. And he wants them to learn that process through life. All right? By being in his presence. You know the only way we can deal with sin? Church people, y'all need to know this. Is to be in the presence of God. Amen. You got to do everything to keep in the presence of God. In your mind, not only in places, but in your mind. Asking God to help you daily before you begin the day. You open your eyes. Lord, I don't know what's ahead of me today, but I dare not step through my day without you. I'm beginning it right here in my bed with you. Are you with me? Children need the Savior, just as we do. So don't stop them. Let them come. Bring them. So they come to learn that in my presence, there's a fullness of joy. So that they can know when they're going through the worst of times, they'll have the experience that the sweetest life is when I'm beside the feet of my Savior. Remove every bounds and bring them to me. And he's saying the same thing to us today. If we live a life outside of the presence of God, you're going to get the consequences for that. If you live a life where you rule your own life and don't allow God intervention to run your life with you, you're going to get the consequence of that life. If you live a life where Saturday is the only time you come to connect with God, you are going to get a consequence for that kind of lifestyle. A daily connection with God is the way to gain strength over evil. Oh my, my. The story is told of a young girl who accepted Christ, her Savior, and applied for membership in a local church. Were you a sinner before you received the Lord? Into your life? One old deacon asked her. Yes, sir, she replied. Well, are you still a sinner? To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever. Then what really changed? What real change have you experienced then? I don't quite know how to explain it, she said, except I used to be a sinner running after sin. But now that I'm saved, she said, now that I'm what?
Saved.
Saved. I'm a sinner running from sin. Hallelujah. Think about it. When I read this, I said, that was me. I remember the lifestyle where you're running to sin. And I remember when Jesus changed my life, I am now running from it. I may fall, but I'm still moving in the direction away from it. Are you with me? This girl was on target. These children, they're innocent. Sorry, they're not innocent, they're sinners. Staying in that condition without the presence of God, they'll be always running towards it. But as long as they're in the presence of Jesus, guess what? They're on a journey moving away from it with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was received into the fellowship of the church. And she proved by her consistent life that she was truly converted. Praise the Lord. Jesus ended the parable by saying, and he took them up in his arms, put his hand upon them, and he blessed them. Anybody want to be blessed by Jesus today? Is there anyone? Lord Jesus, would you take me in your arms today? If you want to say that, Lord, take me in your arms right now and lay your hands upon me, Lord Jesus, and bless me. I'm going to invite you to stand. Lord, Lord, take me in your arms right now. I'm committing my life before you right now. Lay your hands upon me, Lord Jesus. I'm asking, and just bless me. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your word. Your word is surely, surely a blessing to our lives. Today we want to say that we desire that childlikeness. We want you to know that we desire nothing else but to be a part of your kingdom. And so today, we are open. We're open for the removal of all of our pride. We're open, Father, to your working in our lives, and we want you to know that we accept you as our Lord, as our King, and our Savior. Bless us, Father, with your choicest blessings. Pour out upon us your many gifts of protection, your many gifts of provisions. Pour out upon our lives an increase in faith. I pray, Lord, that as of this day going forward, all of us today who have stood, and those who have stood even where we can't see them on the television, but everyone who have made a decision for you today, I pray that you would lead us through this life just as a child is led by their parent. May we always be humble. May we always be ready to listen. May we always be ready to obey you as our God. Forgive us and bless us with a new start today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, at the Church of the Living God, say amen and amen.